जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, गोपी जनम वल्लभ गिरिवराधारी, गोपी जनम वल्लभ गिरिवराधारी, यशोरानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यमुनातीरावनचारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada. Nitai Gaura Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Nitai Gaura Hari Bol. Nitai Gaura Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Gaura Hari Bol. Jai Nitai Gaur Premanande, Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Parivraja Kacharya Stotra Sat, Shishimadis Divine Loving Graceila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki, Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Parivraja Kacharya Stotra Sat, Shishimadis Divine Loving Graceila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada Ki, Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki, Namacharya Shiladidas Thakur Ki, Prem se kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrindaki Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shyam Kunda Radha Kungiri Govardhan Ki Prajbhumi Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Shri Navadip Mayapur Dham Ki Purushottam Kshetra Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Samaveta Bhakta Vrindaki Jaini Tai Gaur Premanande Ogari Shri Samo Devotees. O glories to the assembled devotees. O glories to the assembled devotees. O glories to the lotus feet of Shishi Guru and Sri Gauranga. O glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. So I'm very grateful to have been given the opportunity to speak on the Bhagavatam today. When I was requested to by His Grace Padmapad Prabhu, I was very excited. But leading up to today, I felt ill and I was considering canceling, but then I thought it's not every day one gets the opportunity to speak on the Bhagavatam. So even though I don't feel so well, I should attempt to say a few words for my purification. So I'm very, very happy to be here. And I seek the blessings of the devotees so that I may say something worthwhile for the benefit of the audience and myself also. So today we're reading from the 10th canto, chapter 10, text 18. Bhagavatam chapter is entitled Prayers by the Demigods. And this is a very important chapter because this is leading up to the appearance of Krishna. So Janmashtami is also coming up. So we're going to get Janmashtami twice through the Bhagavatam and also externally as well. So I'll just chant the auspicious invocation prayers before I begin. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tato jagan mangalam achyutam sam samahitam surasutena devi dadhara sarvatmakam atmabhutam kashta yathanandakaram manashta Tato jagan mangalam achyutam sam samahitam shura supena devi dadhar sarvatmakam atma bhutam काष्ठायथानन्दकरं मनस्ताः ततो जगन्मङ्गलम् अच्युतंशम् समाहितं सूरसुतेन देवी यधार सर्वात्मकमात्मभूतम् काष्ठायथानन्दकरं मनस्ताः Vaishnavis. So translation and purport by divine grace, word for word transliteration verse. Tata, thereafter, Jagat Mangalam, auspiciousness for all living entities in all the universes of the creation. Achyuta Amsham, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is never bereft of the six opulences, all of which are present in all his plenary expansions. Samahitam, fully transferred through Rasutena by Vasudev, the son of Shurasen, Devi, Deviki Devi, Dadhara, carried Sarva Atmakam, the super soul of everyone, Atma Bhutam, the cause of all causes, Kashta, the east, Yatha, just as Anandakaram, the blissful moon, Manashta, being placed within the mind, Translation of purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki. Translation. Thereafter, accompanied by plenary expansions, the fully opulent Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose all auspicious for the entire universe, was transferred from the mind of Vasudeva to the mind of Devaki. Devaki, having just been initiated by Vasudeva, became beautiful by carrying Lord Krishna, the original consciousness for everyone, the cause of all causes, within the core of the heart, just as the east becomes beautiful by carrying the rising sun. So, responsibly, please. Thereafter, accompanied by plenary expansions, the fully opulent Supreme Personality of Godhead, who was all auspicious for the entire universe, was transferred from the mind of Vasudeva to the mind of Devaki. Devaki, having thus been initiated by Vasudeva, became beautiful by carrying Lord Krishna, the original consciousness for everyone, the cause of all causes, within the core of the heart, just as the east becomes beautiful by carrying the rising sun. Purport. As indicated here by the word Manashta, the Supreme Personality of Godhead was transferred from the core of Vasudeva's mind or heart to the core of the heart of Devaki. We should note carefully that the Lord was transferred to Devaki not by the ordinary way for a human being, but by Diksha, initiation. And thus the importance of initiation is mentioned here. Unless one is initiated by the right person, who always carries within his heart the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one cannot acquire the power to carry the Supreme Godhead within the core of one's heart. The word Achyutamsham is used because the Supreme Personality of Godhead is Shadashwarya Purna, full in the opulences of wealth, strength, fame, knowledge, beauty, and renunciation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is never separated from his personal opulences. As stated in the Brahma Samhita 5.39, Ramadi Murti Shukalani Yamena Tishtan. The Lord is always situated with all his plenary expansions such as Ram, Rasimha, and Varaha. Therefore, the word Achyutamsham is specifically used here, signifying that the Lord is always present with his plenary expansions and opulences. There is no need to think that the Lord artificially, to think of the Lord artificially as yogis do. Dhyana avastita tadgatena manasa pashantiyam yoginah. Bhagavatam, Canto 12, Chapter 13, Text 1. Yogis meditate upon the Supreme Person within the mind. For a devotee, however, the Lord is present, and his presence need only be awakened through initiation by a bona fide spiritual master. The Lord did not need to live within the womb of Devaki, for his presence within the core of her heart was sufficient to carry him. One is here forbidden to think that Krishna was begotten by Vasudeva within the womb of Devaki, and as she carried the child within her womb. When Vasudeva was sustaining the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead within his heart, he appeared just like the glowing sun, whose shining rays are always unbearable and scorching to the common man. The form of the Lord situated in the pure unalloyed heart of Vasudeva is not different from the original form of Krishna. The appearance of the form of Krishna anywhere, and specifically within the heart, is called Dharma. Dharma refers not only to Krishna's form, but to his name, his form, his quality, and his paraphernalia. Everything becomes manifest simultaneously. Thus, the eternal form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead with full potencies was transferred from the mind of Vasudeva to the mind of Devaki, exactly as the setting sun's rays are transferred to the full moon rising in the east. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, entered the body of Devaki from the body of Vasudeva. He was beyond the condition of ordinary living entity. When Krishna is there, it is to be understood that all his plenary expansions, such as Narayan and incarnations like Lord Nrsimha and Varaha, are with him, and they're not subject to the conditions of material existence. In this way, Devaki became the residence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is one without a second and the cause of all creation. Devaki became the residence of the Absolute Truth, but because she was in the house of Kamsa, she looked just like a suppressed fire or like misused education. When fire is covered by the walls of a pot or is kept in a jug, the illuminating rays of the fire cannot be very much appreciated. Similarly, misused knowledge which does not benefit the people in general is not very much appreciated. So Devaki was kept within the prison walls of Kamsa's place, and no one could see her transcendental beauty, which resulted from her conceiving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Commenting upon this verse, Sri Viragava Acharya writes, Vasudev Devaki Jatayiro Hridayayor Bhagavata Sambandha. The Supreme Lord's entrance into the womb of Devaki from the heart of Vasudev was a heart-to-heart relationship. Om Agyanatimirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Venyama Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Upakadama Yam Dadati Swapanantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Tam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamsha. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Ramostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrinda Vaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Haribye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyay Vacha Titanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namam Vishnu Padai Krishna Prishtai Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Nitiname Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashtachya Deshatarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram. So, Srimad Bhagavatam is like a GPS. The whole purpose of the Bhagavatam, just like a satellite navigation system, is to take us from one place to the other, right? And to give us the necessary steps required to achieve, to reach our destination. And the destination of Krishna consciousness is reconnecting the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shri Krishna, rekindling our dormant loving relationship with Shri Krishna. Now there is a process for doing that, and in the Shastra, the Acharyas are delineated the various steps for that process. And in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu Srila Rupa Goswami explains that one of the most important steps in the undertaking of devotional service, or the science of devotional service, is accepting the shelter and the lotus feet of a spiritual master. Right? Accepting the shelter of one who possesses more and has insight into the science of devotional service a lot more than we do. So he speaks there about Guru Padashraya. And in the sixth chapter of Nectar of Devotion. Prabhupada also explains there. And he lists 64 items, 64 angas of devotional service. And he explains that the first three items are connected to the spiritual master. And these are considered to be the most important because the spiritual master gives one entrance into the science of devotional service. Without shelter and blessings of a spiritual master, it's impossible to understand the science of devotional service. So this point is also being reiterated here by the importance of initiation. And then one very important point also being made here is that this initiation is to be taken from one who's qualified. So Prabhupada mentions that Devaki achieved perfection because she accepted it from a Vasudev, who's a pure devotee of the Lord. So the characteristics of a spiritual master are also given in Shastra, and it's explained in Bhagavatam that he has to have assimilated the science of Krishna consciousness, has to have applied it, has to be fully sense-controlled, and has to be fully surrendered unto the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. And the reason given for that is that unless one has this qualification, he himself will not be able to understand who Krishna is. And if he cannot understand who Krishna is, he cannot give Krishna to anybody else. So here the point is being made, and it's a very important point. There's many other points that I also saw here, but the first one is being this, that the science of devotional service requires initiation is very important. So in various places, devotees mentioned give various examples to illustrate the importance of initiation. And one example given by devotees is that of registering with a university. That in order to acquire knowledge, one can acquire this knowledge by hearing from anybody, right? But if one wants to go deeper in the cultivation of knowledge, then one has to register with a particular institution. So in the same way, to hear about the Supreme Lord and practice the process of devotional service is not actually, it's not limited by not having initiation, but if one wants to go deeper, then one must take shelter of the spiritual master. One must register with the university, because by registering with the university, one would have access to the student handbooks. One will have access to the classroom environment. One will have access to the teacher who they can question and thoroughly about the science. And another reason why one needs to take initiation is that at the time of initiation, the spiritual master petitions the deity and prays to the deity to accept the disciple as a committed practitioner, right? So one time Prabhupada was walking in the park, and he walked past a pond, and he saw that there was a man feeding pieces of bread to ducks. So there was about maybe 5, 6, or 7 ducklings. And out of those ducklings, there was one duckling that was quacking the most. And Prabhupada remarked to his disciples, this is causeless mercy. Right, because the duckling was making so much noise, the man felt obliged to give more bread to him. So he's petitioning and begging a lot more than the others. So in the same way, one comes to Krishna consciousness, and when one becomes more desperate to go deeper in the science of Krishna consciousness, then they start to petition Krishna to bring the spiritual master, and Krishna feels obliged to send someone just to guide them back to the spiritual world, right? So this is a very important point. So sometimes devotees are, for various reasons, encounter difficulties accepting this principle. Because we're living in a material world where we are surrounded by cheaters, right? So sometimes it's very difficult to come to terms with this understanding that I have to submit myself to someone else. What if I get cheated? What if they're not able to guide me? It's explained that there's three main reasons why people struggle to surrender. The first reason is conceit, because of pride. conceit means pride. So they think that they can understand the spiritual reality themselves, so they can do it all by themselves. But we know that this is impossible, because Krishna is beyond the jurisdiction of material energy, and the living entity is conditioned and insignificant. So the example given is just like an ant cannot conceive and comprehend what is beyond. The ant is very small, and the Lord is very big. Lord, just like a human being in comparison to the ant, is very big. So the ant cannot understand who the Supreme Lord is, cannot conceive of something beyond him. So in the same way, one can understand who Krishna is, because we are limited. So we need shelter, we need guidance of someone who is directly connected to Krishna. And the second reason is confusion. People don't know actually who's a qualified spiritual master. And the third reason is cynicism, because of having been cheated repeatedly, so they find it very difficult to accept this. So sometimes people struggle, and they claim that we can actually go back to God, and we don't need to take initiation from a spiritual master, because the process of devotional service is all dependent on our sincerity of purpose. And Krishna is not going to be waiting for us at the doorstep of the spiritual world, waiting for a certificate. You got initiated. Where is your initiation certificate? You cannot enter. So they say this. But in the Shastras, the Acharyas are repeatedly explained that it is very important to take initiation. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains in one of his writings, I forget exactly where, he says that those who say that even if they have achieve advancement in all processes and become purified, if one does not take initiation from a spiritual master, one will only have to come back the next life and again take up to those processes, get purified, get sadhu sangha, and take initiation from a spiritual master in order to go back to Godhead. And this is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur saying this. And we see in our sampradaya, in our parampara, all acharyas took initiation. Every single person in our lineage took initiation. Even though they were great souls, you know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur took initiation. The Goswamis also took initiation from Lord Chaitanya. So it's a very important principle. So this is the first point being presented here. By taking initiation, one gets full access to the spiritual reality. The next important point that I got from this verse, and specifically this section, is how great Krishna is as a personality. Now, Krishna's greatness here is being described in the sense of his ability to arrange situations that eventually turn out to be to the benefit of his devotees. Yeah. So one of the characteristics of Krishna, given one of his opulences, is full knowledge. Yeah, unlimitedly knowledgeable. He's the most intelligent personality. So Krishna is so great that he will arrange situations. He can arrange situations that will benefit everybody, unlike the ordinary living entity. This is his potency. Now, how did I come to this conclusion? If you look at this pastime of Devaki and Vasudev, the situation that Devaki and Vasudeva were put into actually appears to be very tragic, right? It appears to be a very calamitous situation. If you think about it, this is a very young girl, on the day of her marriage. She's on her way to her husband's house. And a brother, who's supposed to be her shelter, who's supposed to be taking care of her, suddenly turns on her and decides that he wants to kill her. So this situation can appear to be very negative on one level, like a face value. But Krishna's potency is such that Krishna can arrange such a situation that in one way appears to be negative, and the same situation can give rise to a positive result. And what is the positive result that comes out of David Key's and Vasudev's imprisonment is that the Supreme Personality of God and himself appears, right, in the household, appears in the womb of David Key. Prabhupada explains in the mind of David Key. So this is a very important principle also, because one of the reasons why people find it difficult to accept the science of devotional service is that when they see, when they read the scriptures and they come across so many pastimes where the Supreme Lord himself, who says in various places that there's no one more dear to him than his devotees, he puts his own devotees through difficulties. So if one wants to weigh up whether or not to take up the process of devotional service, the process of devotional service on surface level doesn't appear to be so enticing, because the whole idea of coming to spirituality is to become free from the miseries of material existence. This is the way a mundane person looks at it. So now here's the Lord himself who's putting his own devotees through difficulty. How does this work? So in Sanskrit, there's a term called arthapati, which means postulation. When one is presented with two conflicting, apparently conflicting propositions, one has to postulate in order to come to the proper understanding. So an example is that if I tell you that Nisinga Tirtha is very fat, but I never see Nisinga Tirtha eating during the day. So how can he be fat and at the same time not eat? So one, he's forced, because this appears to be contradictory. So in order to come to the actual understanding, one is forced to postulate that Nisinga Tirtha actually doesn't eat during the day. He eats at night, right? This is called postulation. So it's not that he doesn't eat, he just eats at a different time of the day. So when we come across this conflicting, apparently conflicting propositions by reading the pastimes of the Lord, we're forced to postulate. How can someone who claims to be the best friend of every living entity, Bhoktaram Nagatapasam, Sarvaloka Maheshwaram, Suridam, right, the ever-well-wisher of every living entity, and the same person who claims to be controlled by his devotees, how can such a person inflict misery upon his devotees? It could mean that either he's lying, that he's not actually the best friend of the living entities, or there's another understanding. But we know that Krishna cannot lie, because Krishna is the compiler of the Vedas. See, Vedantavit, Vedantakrit, Vedavit, Eva Chaham. And the Vedas deal with Dharma. Right? So how can the compiler of the Vedas break the principles of Dharma by lying himself? So there has to be another understanding. And what is that understanding? If you analyze in the world in general, what are some situations and settings where one can put people that they care for through difficulties? Right? You can, if you look at it, you will come to the understanding that in school setting, education, hospital, right? So it is possible to care for someone and at the same time allow that person to experience unpleasantness with the purpose of educating them. So in the purport to the 8th verse of the 80th chapter of the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, Prabhupada explains why Krishna puts his own devotees through difficulties. And he basically makes the same point that I was making. This verse is that famous verse, Yasyaha Manugrihnami Harishyeta Dhanam Shanahi Tato Dharam Chajantyasya Swajana Dukkha Dukitam. And Krishna says, if I especially favor someone, I gradually deprive him of his wealth. Then the relatives and friends of such a poverty-stricken man abandon him. In this way, he suffers one distress after another. So Prabhupada goes on to explain, If the Lord is so compassionate to his devotees, he presents a question, why does he expose them to special suffering? This is answered by an analogy. A very affectionate father takes the responsibility of restricting his children's play and making them go to school. He knows that this is a genuine expression of his love for them, even if the children fail to understand. Similarly, the Supreme Lord Vishnu is mercifully strict with all his dependents, not only with immature devotees struggling to become qualified. Even perfect saints like Prahlad, Dhruva, Yudhishthira were subjected to great tribulations, all for their glorification. So he makes the point that the Lord puts his devotees through difficulties and there's a plan behind it, and the plan is glorification. He also goes on to say, the suffering helps protect the confidentiality of devotional service by discouraging intrusions by the faithless, and it also increases the eagerness with which the devotees call upon the Lord to appear. If the devotees of Lord Vishnu were complacently happy all the time, he would never have a reason to appear in this world as Krishna, Ramachandra, Nrisimha, and so on. So, this is a very important point he's making here, that the Lord arranges for the devotee to go through difficulties for their glorification. How does this work? Because he knows that the devotees can handle these difficulties. Now, in the case of an ordinary devotee, just like myself, who's struggling with the difficulties, the Lord still puts us through difficulties also for the sake of purification. Right? This is mentioned in, again, this is 10th canto. It's Brahma Vimohan Leela, I think, Tate no Kampam, Susamik Shamano. Prabhupada explains there that the Lord arranges for the devotee to go through difficulties just so that he can let go of the last vestiges of material enjoyment. Right? Because of his attachment to the material world, he still has some feeling that the material world is a nice place to be. So therefore the Lord, out of his mercy, creates an unpleasant situation so that he's forced to focus on a spiritual reality. And a further reason why the Lord puts ordinary people through difficulties is education. So education works in such a way that by going through pain, those people who think that this world is a nice place are forced to start questioning, why is it that despite my various attempts to be happy in this world, I'm suffering? Why is it that I want to be happy but I never achieve it? Why is it that I have so many facilities but I cannot sleep at night? Why is it that we have developed countries and developed nations but still we have to deal with crime, wars, and pestilence? So it makes them ask. And then if they're qualified, if they have enough piety, then they will come in contact with devotees who will put them on the right path, who will highlight what the right path is in order to answer those questions. So this is the mercy of the Lord. He creates a situation. So every situation has a particular plan behind it. And if one truly believes that Krishna is their best friend, as so often as devotees we claim, then we have to demonstrate this also in a way we handle difficulties in our life. When difficulties come, do we become despondent and start questioning Krishna's compassion for us? Do we start questioning the process? Or when difficulties come, do we become more serious in the process of devotional service? Everyone has to see it. There's a saying in English, when the going gets tough, the tough gets going. So do we get going when life gets tough, or do we stop, slow down, and sometimes start regressing? Everyone has to see in their own lives. Right? So this section is very important because it gives us an idea of this principle, and also how someone who's advanced in the process of devotional service deals with such difficulties. Right? So this is very important. This is another important point being presented here. Then the final important point that Prabhupada touches upon in the purport as well is the efficacy of the process of bhakti yoga. Sometimes people dismiss the science of devotional service because they say it's too simple. All you guys are doing is just chanting and dancing. How can something that's going to give me the highest result be so simple? There has to be another process, a better process out there, right? This is too simple. But here Prabhupada is making a point that he's contrasting devotional service, bhakti yoga, with yogis, right? In the purport. He mentions here that Devaki had been granted access to the spiritual reality by Vasudeva, and she did not have to engage in extraneous activities such as trying to think of Krishna artificially like the yogis, right? That Krishna automatically manifested within her heart because she was a devotee. Right? So this is also a very important point, because sometimes people can dismiss the sign as a devotional service. Now all these points are relevant for ordinary people, but they're also relevant for us as devotees as well. So by reading this section of Bhagavatam with the right attitude and sincerity, we can internalize this point and actually apply them in our own life. Right? When difficulties come, we can approach them in the right way, just like Vasudeva Devaki. All the examples are given in Bhagavatam for our purpose. There is actually no reason for this to take place apart from our education. This is a compassionate Krishna. So to the degree we are sincere in devotional service, to that degree we will apply these principles rather than just read them and just let them go from one ear into the other. As Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains in some notes that he wrote on the Srimad Bhagavatam, he speaks about the unqualified student of the Bhagavatam, and he says that some people accumulate knowledge of the Bhagavatam for the purpose of accumulating the knowledge. But actually, the knowledge of the Bhagavatam is meant to create a reality, to create a life dedicated to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. This is the whole purpose of Bhagavatam. So therefore, it's very important that we apply everything that we read in the Bhagavatam. And in this particular section, it's talking about the science of making advancement, and the science begins by taking initiation from a qualified representative of Krishna, and also talks about how to maintain faith and conviction in the face of challenges in material existence, and faith and conviction in the process of devotional service also. So it's 9:05. I will stop here and ask for some questions. I thank you for your attention. I may know we're qualified to speak on the Bhagavatam, as I'm sure it became very apparent as I was speaking. Could tell the level of my realization. But Bhagavatam is for purification. So I definitely feel thoroughly purified going through the anxiety of trying to speak. But if anyone has any question, Prabhuji, yes, question. Microphone. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Prabhu, for this wonderful class. You explained the reasons we don't want to surrender to Krishna, and you clarified how we should surrender to Krishna. In the last, you were making a point that Bhagavatam is meant, the knowledge of Bhagavatam is meant to create a reality.
Yes.
Can you explain it a little more, like what actually you
mean? The knowledge of Bhagavatam gives us the guidelines on how to function within this world so that we can eventually transcend this world and be connected to Krishna. So reality is created through our activities. We create our reality by the way we interact with the world in general. Our existence in this world is only a manifestation of our interaction with the world in general. So to the degree we apply the science of the Bhagavatam, we'll also be able to create a spiritual reality in our lives. But if we don't apply the science of the Bhagavatam, no matter how many shlokas we may know, and how much of a great understanding of the Bhagavatam, great theoretical understanding of Bhagavatam we may have, our life will not change, right? There will be a certain degree of purification, but it has to be applied also. This is why I think this is in the introduction of Gita or something like that, Prabhupada says that one must open, he gives the analogy of a jar of honey. One must open the jar of honey and taste it also, rather than just looking at it from the outside. So one can read the spiritual literatures and the Shastra, but one will taste the nectar of devotional service until they apply the teachings in their lives. That's the point I was making. Right.
Thank you.
And because you see, there are many people who know philosophy, they know Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy. His Holiness Bhaktivedanta Maharaj, in the early days of ISKCON, used to preach behind the Iron Curtain in various places. And sometimes he would go to universities to distribute Bhagavatam so that they could put them in a library of the faculties of sciences and philosophy. Right, so one time he ended up in the office of one professor. And the professor was very happy to see him. And he exclaimed that his surprise and joy by seeing Bhaktivedanta Maharaj presenting Bhagavatam. And he expressed that he already knew about Jiva Goswami. He said, yeah, I've read all the Jiva Goswami's writings. He's one of the greatest philosophers. And he said to Maharaj, please tell me more. And as Maharaj was speaking, he opened the drawer and pulled out a pack of cigarettes and then put it in his mouth and started smoking while Maharaj was talking. So Maharaj was making a point that, just see, this person has read the writings of Jiva Goswami, but his change of heart is not taking place because he actually applied the teachings of Jiva Goswami. The knowledge has been kept solely on a superficial surface level. So this is why Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that in science, the knowledge of the Bhagavatam is meant to help us create a reality rather than just accumulating the knowledge.
What blocks the application of knowledge into life?
Sorry?
The application, like you gave the example of that person smoking cigarette, though he knew about Jiva Goswami.
If he had actually applied the knowledge and understood the knowledge, he wouldn't be smoking. Because it's a sinful activity, it's one of the breaking intoxication, that's one thing. And if he had applied the knowledge and he had experienced the nectar of devotional service, he wouldn't need to resort to these lower pleasures in order to give himself happiness. Why do people smoke? Because they're addicted and they're looking for happiness and they look in a lower way. That's the point.
That's all my question, that what blocks an individual from applying the knowledge which he knows. He's appreciating knowledge, he knows Jiva Goswami is the best philosopher. Mm. And still that individual is unable to apply. So what blocks this application?
There's a variety of reasons why people are not able to apply the knowledge. But on the basic level is because of a lack of association of people who are actually applying the knowledge. In the association of devotees who have actually applied the teachings of the Bhagavatam, one develops an attraction and a desire to also want to apply, because we see how the Bhagavatam is affecting their lives in a positive way. And that also rubs off on us, that desire, and then we want to also apply in our own life. So that's the first thing, definitely. It's very important. So this is another very important point, that the science of devotional service and scripture needs to be heard in the association of devotees. One example is that if Prabhupada had not written this purport, can you imagine if Prabhupada did not write the purports, and you were to read this specific section of Bhagavatam, and imagine you were a judge who was supposed to decide whether or not Krishna was guilty of treason and being ungrateful. You would definitely prosecute Krishna for being a bad master because of the kind of things he's putting his people through, his devotees through. It's only by the mercy of Prabhupada's purpose that we're able to understand the deeper meaning behind the pastimes. So in the association of devotees, we're able to understand the the import of these verses. And this is the reason why there are so many great impersonalists who know scripture, right? But they come up with a different conception, they're twisted, because they project their own contaminated consciousness on the Shastra. But if one has got the association of a devotee who's there, then a devotee can immediately correct that understanding and point them in the right direction. This is not the right way to understand it. This is another way. Now, right now, I'm giving this presentation or this lecture. If I say anything which is not in line with Shastra, we have enough senior devotees in the audience to immediately pull me back and correct me immediately, like that. Right? If I'm reading it by myself, I can come with any conclusion I want, and there's no one to correct me. So most important is to read and hear in the association of devotees. And sometimes the challenge is in the association of devotees, we encounter so many difficulties, especially on the relationship level. So we want to remove ourselves from the association of devotees and distance ourselves from the association of devotees. But the example is given that just like in the wild, right? Just like in the wildlife, right? Predators hunting animals who usually target the lone animals, animals who are by themselves, prey who are by themselves. In the same way, if we remove ourselves from the association of devotees, we're more susceptible to the material energy. So in the wild, you see herds of buffaloes, they stay together because it's harder for the wild animal, the predator to attack them when they're in a pack. So the same principle also applies to Krishna consciousness and spiritual life, regardless of what happens. There are three things we can do. When we find it difficult to stay in the association of devotees, we can either tolerate as much as we can. If not, then we can take the step to mitigate the difficulty, or we can even relocate to another community. But whatever happens, by hook or by crook, we must remain in the association of devotees, because nothing happens in Krishna consciousness without the association of devotees. So,
thank you.
Okay, so it's 5 past. I don't think there's any more questions. So we'll stop here. Again, I'm very grateful for the opportunity. I apologize for any shortcomings on my side. And I hope I'll again get the opportunity to speak on the Bhagavatam, because I need all the help I can get. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki.